Oh, thank you, Barney. If you want, you go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. This is where we'll be starting. And what I'd like to share tonight is on how to have a pure heart. In Matthew 5, in verse 8, this really caught my attention. And it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I thought that was pretty incredible. I mean, how many of us would like to see God? Yep. Barney raised his hand. Vicky, okay. Oh, and my lovely wife. All right. Well, obviously we cannot see God because he's spirit. But what that means is that we would see God's intentions, his desires, and love for the world. I think we heard that a little bit in the manifestations. To be pure in heart is to be single in purpose. I also heard that both we heard in the manifestations about his purpose and our purpose. To be pure in heart is to be single in purpose, to have the single goal of accomplishing God's will for God's glory. Now, who do you think would be a good example of that?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Go to John chapter 6. Just to kind of show his heart and his commitment. In John 6, verse 38, he says, "For I came not from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me." I would say that's being single in purpose and having his goals, you know, right to accomplish God's will. And go to 14 of the Gospel of John. Another great statement he makes here when he's talking with his apostles here. In verse 9, Jesus said unto him, talking about Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, showest the Father?" See, Jesus Christ depicted everything that God is. He showed God's intention, his desires, and his love for the world in everything that he did. So when people saw how he walked and what he shared and the things that he did, he was just showing us God's heart and how God really is. God is a good God. He's not evil. He's not trying to hurt us. He wants to love every one of us. God's will is God's word. We've been taught that, a lot of us. You can't know God's will without his word. That's why he gave it to us. In Psalm 12:6, remember it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." God's words are pure. That means there's nothing mixed in with it that would ever contaminate it. You know, going back to the beginning there, before man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all was pretty darn good. There was no sin, there was no judging, no evil thoughts. It was just pure. He didn't compare what was better than something else. Everything that was there was what God designed, and it was beautiful. Once the man ate the evil fruit, it's like food. When you eat something, your body consumes it. It becomes a part of you. And for us, it became, you know, we got introduced to that evilness. So it's important, if you're going to have a pure heart, you got to be aware of what you consume. it made me think of the scripture in Jeremiah 15:16, where he said, the prophet said, "Thy word, or thy words were found, and I did eat them." And what was the result? It was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Well, you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 119. You know, you eat good food, your body likes that. It's healthy. You eat junk food, mm-hmm. Of course, none of us do that, but those that do, just kidding. It can contaminate that body. It's not good for it. I'm going to share from the New Living Translation in Psalm 119, verse 9. And this really fits with what I'm talking about here, because it's asking, how can a young person stay pure? You know, you bring him up in the Word, bring a child up in the Word, he's pure thinking and all that. How can a person stay pure, a young person stay pure? It says, by obeying God's Word. This is why it's important what we allow in our hearts. In Psalm 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And maybe you've heard that old saying, you are what you eat. So we got to be sharp and be on guard as to what we put in our hearts. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is Paul's instruction to Timothy, leadership. And again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, so just bear with me on this, but just listen. It says, in verse 5, he says, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith." You see, this is what fills a heart with God's love. Having a pure heart, clear conscience, and genuine faith. You want to love like God loves. You don't want to be judging like, you know, we have a tendency to do so often. This is how we get it fixed. Go to Colossians 3. Oh, I'm sorry. You can put your finger there, but we're going to go to one before that, in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Again, from the New Living Translation. Says, "Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins," or I think the King James says, "you have purified your souls." When? When you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, or as the King James says, or with a pure heart. Isn't that neat?
That's right.
Gosh. You know, I don't have to say a whole lot because the Word of God just speaks so beautiful about just what it takes to have a pure heart. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't go to that Colossians 3, did I? All right. Jumping ahead of myself here. Colossians 3. I love this. This is some of my favorite verses here in verses 1 and 2. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections or your thoughts on things above, not on the things on earth. In other words, eat the good stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the things that are in heaven above? What kind of thoughts are we supposed to put on in our hearts? That's what we look to, you know? And you get that from time in the Word. How do you consume your time? I mean, I know we got to go to work and all these other things in life, but if you only spend one morning a week in God's Word, that's what you're consuming. The rest is something else. Now go to 1 John chapter 3. In verse 2, it says, Beloved, now, not later, but now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, because it could be today.
Yep.
But every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. When we got born again, we've been cleansed from all our sins. And our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is innocent, is pure. He wants us to see ourselves as he sees us. He doesn't judge us. And that was the whole purpose for Christ coming, not to judge, but to save the world. What should be our attitude? You know, we shouldn't judge people, but we should be thinking, you know, well, how can I save this person? Or, you know, how can I bring them to Christ? Anyway, closing here. To have a pure heart, we must guard our thoughts. Learn God's word and know what to consume in our hearts and reject all else. Then obey God's word. When our hearts are pure, when our hearts are pure and when we have a clear conscience and genuine faith, we will be filled with the love of God. And isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that what God wants us to do? To love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's hard to love yourself if you don't know the love of God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, Be therefore followers of God. Or as the New Living Translation says, Be ye imitators of God. It's like a child likes to imitate his dad. He enjoys this. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us. But we have the perfect example, Jesus Christ. Do you want to imitate God? Do you really want to know God, his intentions and his desires, and what kind of love he has for the world? Then that's what we want to do, is purify our hearts. That's what I want to share.
Thank you, Joe.
Father, I thank you for this time to be able to just take a break from everything we've been doing today or whatever and just be able to enjoy this moment here. Really recognizing what is your desire, what is your intention for our lives. And Father, how you so loved the world that you were willing to give your son and that he was willing to die for us so that we could live. That we could be part of your family. I pray, Father, that as we continue to put your word on in our lives, in our hearts, and we make that our joy and rejoicing, that we can just be a great example to others as we go out this week, and that we can look at them as our Father looks at them, that they have the potential, that we can just look to their hearts and show them that they can also have the joy that we have with our relationship with you, Father. So I just thank you for this time together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.